Hello, hello.
What time is it? Are we starting?
It's 20 after.
Whoa. We start on time when we're already late. We start on time. We always warn everybody we start on time. We're absolute Nazis about starting on time, and we're 5 minutes late.
So we're going to talk fast.
This is Eleanor Nowen.
This is Martha King. And we're so happy to be back at Sidewalk and with Pros, because we had a little hiatus when they had a little hiatus in the spring. They're already laughing. We didn't say anything funny yet. So tonight...
Shall we try?
No. We're much less funny when we try to be funny.
This is true.
So tonight we have two fighters and lovers. Not of each other.
Not yet.
After hours is your own business. First up is going to be Misha Mertz, who's from Australia. We'll be charmed. I can't say it.
Well, we'll be warned.
We'll be warned. Okay, whatever. And she is a writer and also a boxer and has written a memoir about that. In fact, a couple of books about boxing. And she's a Golden Gloves champion. So be sure and applaud loudly for Misha.
Just want to say a word or two about Misha. If you think about women's boxing from watching a certain movie by Clint Eastwood, think again and read her book. But also, it's not so much about boxing as it is about sex. No, truly. It's very popular in the United States to refer to sex as gender, but in my idea, there's a few pronouns have gender, but most of us have sex. And what our sex is, it is profoundly involved in the idea of boxing. So I'm going to let Misha speak for herself.
Best yet.
Oh, I think. Good evening. Thank you, ladies. Ladies of the fairer sex. It's an evening of sex and violence, I think. Between Francis and myself, we're going to bombard you with those two topics. Anyway, yes, it's true that others have written about boxing, other great writers. In fact, Hugh McAvaney, the sports writer, said that boxing was more of a writer's sport than any other because you have courage, romance, skullduggery, excitement, and moments of unspeakable horror. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's just the tip of the iceberg. In 2009, I immersed myself in the world of boxing and was rewarded both as a fighter and as a writer. I competed in the National Women's Golden Gloves in Florida, and I won my first two fights, and I stayed on to train in preparation for the next event, which was the Ringside World Tournament in Kansas City. I had one side trip in which I competed at the Georgia Games, also winning another fight, much to my great shock and surprise and happiness. And then I returned to Florida and began to try and set things up for the next tournament at Ringside. And I was dealing with a guy called Dave Lubbs at Ringside, who was coordinating 1,400 athletes for this enormous event. And one day when I checked in with him about likely opponents, the whole gender question, or sex question, got a new twist, one that raised issues beyond some of the more simplistic notions about whether it was okay for women to box. That was an idea that used to come up all the time when I started, but hardly gets a look in now. Anyway, Lubbs told me cheerfully that there'd been a few more women masters signing up for the tournament than he'd first expected, that is, women over the age of 35. Sometimes called old bags, old chooks, but in this case, masters boxers. When I'd first contacted him before I left Australia, his response had been pretty pessimistic. But now the registration forms had started coming in and the situation looked much more positive. Dave sounded on the phone like a rotund man in his 50s. He mostly used a speakerphone, and I imagine him doing a few other things at the same time, like putting a golf ball into a cup or something. From his office, you know, swilling around a glass of scotch on the rocks or something like that. "Let me see," he said when I called him. "We've got four women at 132 pounds. What are you?" "I'm 138, I said, "but I could come down." "Now hold on a second," he said. "There's one here that'll probably come up to 138. Then the line went silent and he took himself off speakerphone. When he spoke again, he seemed close to the mouthpiece, as if he didn't want anyone to hear what he was saying, as if he might be covering his mouth with his hand. "Let me tell you something, though, Misha. It's kind of interesting, he said. Then there was another pause. This one used to be a man. What? I exclaimed. He's had the operation, so he, she is registered to box as a woman. And USA Boxing has allowed that? Yeah. No one's prepared to say no. Not USA Boxing or the local boxing clubs. What, are they scared of getting sued? Yeah, I think that's it. Kind of interesting, don't you think? Dave, I said, that's very interesting. But is it fair? What about that woman tennis player who was a man? Billie Jean King? No, I said. She was a woman. She played a man. There was another one. Oh, yeah, I remember that. But this is boxing, I said. You know, strength is a factor. I don't know, he said. Maybe with the hormones he takes. I gotta stop saying he. It's a she. But is it? I said. I heard the sound of shuffling paper. Well, he said, he's 55 years old. His name is Pauline. It used to be Paul. I don't know if it's fair. I mean, did he box as a young man? Maybe he's had a lot of experience. Plus the strength. I mean, we spar with men in the gym, but this is a fight. I got another call, said Dave. I gotta go. Just keep this to yourself for now, okay, Misha? For the sake of the person. Okay, I said. The very next person I saw was Karen, my landlady, who picked me up in her Mustang to take me to the gym. Hey, she said. Hey, I said. They're lining me up to fight some kind of transsexual person. Huh? A woman who apparently used to be a guy. They can do that? I shrugged. Wow, she said. That's interesting. Once I got to the gym, I told Bonnie, my trainer. Later that night, I got back to the Angelfish Inn. I called Alicia, my New York trainer, and told her. Then I told Terry Moss in Atlanta and told her. I nearly even told a complete stranger in the laundromat, but I thought it would take too much explaining. Naturally, everyone found it interesting. Bonnie shook her head. I don't know, she said. Alicia, as usual, was circumspect. Maybe living in New York had made her unshockable. Terry Moss, however, was intrigued. If this person wants to box, why the hell didn't he do it when he was a man? Don't take that fight, Misha, she said. Terry, the boss, Moss, had just cornered me at the Georgia Games in Atlanta, where I fought a 40-year-old lesbian comedian from Tennessee called Susan Dunn, who we referred to as Dunny, which is Australian slang for lavatory. Dunny had copped a beating from me. I mean, it was a fight, and so I had to win it. And directed all her rage at Terry Moss, as if she was responsible somehow. She was now saying that she wanted to fight me at ringside. Now, excuse me, this is a Tennessee accent. You can laugh at my attempt. I won't lose to her in Kansas City. You can bank on it, she wrote. One of three things is going to happen. She's going to be knocked out, I'll put her in a coma, or the referee will stop the contest. Count on it. I'm going to knock your girl out in the first round. Bank on it. There was much more in the email. 11 points of issue, in fact. I wondered if she was this crazy before the fight, or maybe I had done this to her. Terry, who said she didn't think she would be making it to ringside, sounded like she was going to change her mind. Between Dunny, the transsexual, it was all becoming a bit too much to resist. The next afternoon, Dave Lubbs called again. Now, Misha, you're going to find this real interesting. I just spoke to Pauline, and I should just say she. I'm going to blow it, I know it. And I'll probably do it in front of her. Anyway, she said she wants whoever is going to be fighting her to give her a call, and she can explain everything. He says that he never lived as a man and was assigned a female gender at birth. Anyway, she lives in Daytona, so if you want, I'll give you her number and you can give her a call. Okay, I said to Dave, I'll give her a call. By the way, how did she sound on the phone? Like a man or a woman? You know, Dave said, she sounded like a feminine man. Mind you, I've heard women who sound a lot rougher than that. In the meantime, I also had another potential opponent for ringside, a charming woman called Jackie Atkins, who was like a cross between Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama, who I'd beaten in the Golden Gloves. She was the most likable person I'd ever punched in the face. And we were on pretty friendly terms. I even told Jackie about Pauline. So much for keeping it to myself. Within a day, I think I told 10 people on two different continents. "Don't do it, Misha," she said. "Fight me," in her friendly, charming way. But that night, I called Pauline. "Hi, Pauline, this is Misha, the Masters boxer from Australia." "Oh, hi," she said. "They've said you'd be calling." I just realised now that I'm trying to impersonate a woman who's a man who's impersonating a woman. So, "What did he say about me?" she asked. "He said you were once a man," I replied. "Yeah, I was, sort of. I had to have an operation to become a woman," she said. Her voice was as David described it, like a feminine man. She sounded a little like a character from Last Exit to Brooklyn or some film like that. But everything came out all at once, as if she'd never told anyone this story. "I was born with equipment I couldn't use, you know what I'm saying? I was molested when I was young. I never dated. I was 90 pounds in high school and started weight training and all that. I had a miserable time. I got picked on a lot and I used to run from fights. I had the operation a year ago, but I don't have implants or anything like that. I'm all natural, you know what I'm saying? People that see me think I'm female. I have a boyfriend too." This all came gushing out of Pauline, timelines jumbled, life story jostling with biological points of fact. The writer in me was intrigued, interested, you might say. The fighter in me was a little concerned, but the information wasn't giving me any clear idea of what kind of competition should be in the ring, which was really my only concern. More than anything, though, she wanted to talk to me like she was one of the girls, establishing her feminine bona fides, you know, the checklist: boyfriend, petite frame, natural breasts, likes to flirt with men, they with her. "How long have you been boxing?" I asked. "A little over a year, on and off," she said. "How about you?" "I've been boxing for a few years," I said. "Maybe 10? "Oh, I see," she said. "What do you look like?" "What do I look like? Oh, I don't know, about 5'4", stocky build, short hair." Actually, when I thought about it, I didn't have that many feminine bona fides myself. "I gotta tell you," Pauline said, "when I decided to compete in boxing, I wanted to compete against the man, but USA Boxing doctor, when he gave me the physical, he determined that I was female. I think because they didn't want me to get hurt. But a person like me is physically both. But why do you want to compete in a tournament? Why not just enjoy the training, spar a little bit?" I said, "And what do you mean, genetically both? I'm 55 years old, but really I haven't started to live," she said. "I had female insides and male equipment that didn't work for me, you know what I'm saying? I always admired boxing women, and that's what I want to be. I'm not so crazy about the men who box. I don't admire them so much. Men are assholes. I mean, I have a boyfriend, but he's an asshole too." "Okay, Pauline. I still don't know enough about your biology," I said. "I don't really even know my own biology," she said. "What do you mean?" "I was born, oh, I can't even say the word, it upsets me. A hermaphrodite." "Ah, okay," I said. At last, some kind of definition. But still, I didn't know what implications there were in terms of her strength. "Pauline, I don't really care much about your breasts or implants or how feminine you look or any of that. It's none of my concern and it shouldn't have to be. The only thing that concerns me is how you'll be inside the boxing ring, whether you'll have any kind of advantage because of your strength. The way I see it," she said, "you're 5 pounds heavier, 10 years younger, and you have more experience than me. I mean, I might lose. But I don't really care because it takes guts just to get through those ropes. As far as I'm concerned, you're a winner just getting in there." In the garbled biography, there was also talk of therapy, ripping doors off refrigerators in a hormone-fueled rage, combined with stories of victimization and sexual abuse. By the end of it, I was feeling as confused as she was. It sounded like Pauline hadn't trained long, hadn't sparred much, and wasn't being taken that seriously in the gym in Daytona, a place, I gather, not exactly known for its progressive values. I was starting to feel like I might be the one with the unfair advantage. But then she said, I have to tell you everything. People like me have more strength than most people in my weight class. I'm like a machine that doesn't want to quit. That's why I can do this at 55. I do take female hormones, though, because they make my female parts more sensitive. I develop breasts on my own. They're not real big. If I didn't work out, they would be bigger. Okay, I get it. She told me she'd get her boyfriend to send me a photograph and I could see for myself. The next day, she sent me the pictures with a message inviting me to Daytona to spa. It may ease your mind about me. I'm not that tough, and I look a lot prettier in person. Sincerely, Pauline. The accompanying photos depicted a small person with very shapely athletic legs, in white running shoes with red laces. She was wearing white shorts with a red ribbon belt and a cherry red sports bra, red boxing gloves and a red floppy hat, posing in a boxing stance. Her hair was long and frizzy, and there was a little bit of makeup on her face. But the pose was odd. The person looked odd. Not like a drag queen, but certainly not like a woman of 55. The shot had a slightly Diane Arbus quality to it. I had mixed feelings. It seemed ironic that just when women's boxing was gaining some legitimacy, I was being dragged back into a novelty status again. I had nothing against Pauline. She sounded genuinely excited to be able to live the life she'd always wanted and sounded like she really loved boxing. But why did people in America always have to take things so far? It's a country where everything is larger than life. The cars are big, the people are big, the meals are huge, and there's such a sense of desperation to be noticed that people will frequently overdo it. Well, why did Pauline need to fight? She couldn't just enjoy her training? It sounds like a mismatch in your favour, my husband Peter said when I recounted the conversation and sent him the pictures. I also forwarded the pictures to Terry Moss back in Georgia. That's a damn man, she said. There's no doubt about it. I want to see me some vagina before you get in that ring. Dave was right. Things were looking up. Now I had three potential opponents in Kansas City. One, a woman so charming she could have run for Congress, a psychotic comedian who vowed to put me in a coma, and another of uncertain gender who more than anything wanted me to know that her breasts were real and she was much prettier in person. And that is just the tip of my iceberg. The rest of it is in The Sweetest Thing. I hope you enjoy it.
See, I told you this was about sex. Please buy Misha's book. It's called The Sweetest Thing. It's a really charming and wonderful book. Lots of photographs and...